Hello, and welcome to Networking Unleashed, Building Profitable Connections. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm your host, Michael Foreman, and you're listening to the podcast where networking is more than just awkward handshakes and bad coffee. It's an art and a talent. But here's the twist: it's an art and talent you can actually learn. Yes, even if you're the person hiding in the corner at every event pretending to check emails. Networking isn't just a nice skill to have, it's a game changer. When you get good at it, you'll wonder why you didn't start sooner. More connections, more opportunities, more profits. It's like unlocking a cheat code for life. So whether you're the life of the party or the just let me stay at home and text type, we've got something for you. So stick around. Let's turn those awkward small talk moments into big wins. I've got actually, an incredible guest today. Her name is Amanda Hengst, and she's got really a comprehensive background, but I'm going to let her go into it. But I will just say that Amanda survived cult life and trafficking to become the millionaire muse. And her journey embodies resilience transformed into results. So without butchering that too much, Amanda, welcome to the podcast. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about your background?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So yeah, as you said, I was raised in a very unconventional, ultra-conservative cult. And then after we outgrew that and got out of the cult, in my adult life, I was ended up being sex and labor trafficked by my ex-boyfriend. But all those things serve to teach me how to become a better communicator and writer. So I'm grateful for those opportunities that have now served me. And so now I write and I help people communicate and connect with impact and with a strategy. And yeah, I'm super blessed. So.
That's fantastic. There is a local organization called Revved Up Kids, and they have a website, revvedupkids.org, which I think you might find very interesting. And they're actually a sponsor for the podcast, but it falls right along the lines of trafficking and protecting the young girls from their family, basically, or anybody else. But just to take a look into that.
For sure.
How does effective copywriting contribute to building strong, profitable business relationships?
And it's the whole reason for strong, profitable businesses because copywriting is a form of communication. And it's a form that most of your leads or business partners or people interested in you will encounter first before they actually get the opportunity to encounter you. They read something online, they see content online, they see words online, ad, something. So copywriting is usually people's first and last impression of you. So it is the most important piece of business, I would dare say, because it's communication, and communication is what makes the world go round.
Absolutely right. The networking and communication is the crux of, I would say, every business, but it's every person as well. So it's very important. What are customer pain points most businesses overlook when crafting their message?
They often tend to try to speak with their own voice to the person they are right now instead of looking at who their ideal client is and speaking to that person. They get too caught up in their own brand voice or their own personal voice that they forget that they're not trying to sell themselves. They're trying to sell themselves 5 years ago. And they want to go too deep too quick. And they completely go over their prospects' heads completely, or the person they're looking to connect with.
That's very good information and very good insights. How can professionals use networking insights to create more persuasive and conversation-driven copy?
I love the test of seeing how people introduce me, because how they introduce me is how they actually perceive me, and it tells me. How what my communication and how they're interpreting either my copy or my communication. That's a telltale sign. If they don't know how to explain who you are or what you do, that's a massive problem and a massive disconnect. So I'm always curious in networking events or even situations like this, how people end up introducing you to other people. Pay attention to that because that will give you insight into how people are interpreting your copy or your messaging. And then also, you get to practice new different lines. You get to practice new different catchphrases. You get to practice new different titles that you want to try. And it's a really great instant feedback. People go, oh, that's usually a good sign. Or if they go, okay, then that means you're boring. So paying attention to how people interact with you when you talk about what you do, how people introduce you is almost instant marketing feedback and very valuable data.
Yeah, and you're touching on so many points, so many networking points, which are so on point that I don't know where to begin. As far as I'm concerned, you're doing everything correct. When you give that 30-second elevator pitch or speech that you want to give, you're seeing the reaction. So if the reaction isn't good from what you say, then you're like, all right, I'm going to scrub that and I'm going to try something else. So you're right. So you see by the actions and reactions of everybody concerned. Can you share a framework or method for crafting copy that speaks directly to a customer's pain points?
That's a good one. What I normally do when I'm writing is I look at what I want the end result or emotion to be, and I work backwards from that emotion. So if I want peace, then I start working backwards with how do I create the emotion of peace inside that, and what words am I using? And I start to curate the phrases, even the pattern, even the rhythm of the sentence, the rhetoric around how do I create a nice and consistent pace so that it feels peaceful versus if I want to create urgency, I'm going to jumble a bunch of words together. I'm going to use short sentences. I'm going to use all capitals. I'm going to create structure it differently to create a different emotion. So I start at the end emotion and work my way backwards.
That's great. And I want to touch upon something that is relevant to this, but also the question before is that you have to have active listening. You have to be able to listen to everybody, not hear them, but actually listen to them. And of course, then there is the pause after the listen, because what does that tell the person? That you were listening. So you might say, I understand that you said, blah, blah, blah. So that tells them that you were listening to what they had to say. And it makes them feel better. It invokes a bit of confidence and it tells them what you're doing.
100%.
What strategies do you recommend for quickly identifying a potential client's true needs during a conversation or networking event?
I let them tell me. So a lot of times I'll lead with what's going on in your world? What's something good? What's something bad going on in your world? And if they immediately go to business, then I know that's where their focus is. If they go to something outside of business, whether it's family or my kid's been sick or something like that, then I can get a grip on where their priorities are at. Not to say like one's better than the other, it's just where their mind frame is. And then I start navigating that and connecting with them on that level. So I ask a lot of open-ended questions that will let them tell on themselves. So I don't go in and say, you need copywriting and I'm pitching email sequences to you. Where is your bottleneck in your business? What do you hate about entrepreneurship? What's the one thing that drives you crazy about running your business? And then whether or not I'm the direct solution or I give a referral, I'm going to be a solution no matter what to them. I'm going to bring value no matter what to them. So I let them lead the way.
Very good. Very good. Because you have to remember that everyone's got a problem and you're there to solve their problem. Whether you can do it or not, it's up to you. But if you can refer them, because you're not going to leave it open-ended, you're there to help them. And if you help them by referring them to somebody who can help them, that's great. But that they will always remember you for that. So you're striking it rich every time.
Or even they might not be in a place to where they need me yet. They might not have their LLC set up. They might not have even their business formatted or their systems. So it might be a train wreck if I try to get in and help them right now. So if I can set them up for success to where I can get them to a place to where they'll actually need me and my services, that's a win as well.
Absolutely. And if you put all their information into your CRM or whatever you use, and you may deal with them 6 months down the road, just touching them like once a month or something, say, hey, look, I'm here. How's this? Or how's that? How's it going? And you're keeping in their mind. So again, that's very good. Okay, so what are some real-world examples of what great copy turned a casual business connection into a long-term client?
Goodness. Oof. My mind is running a million different directions.
Good job.
When you talk about nurturing a lead for more than 6 months, this is probably when I teach younger kids. I'm going to call them kids, but they're in their 20s. Younger kids, how to write and how to sell. They're like, I haven't heard from him in a week, so I moved on. And I'm like, are you crazy? So, all that to say, I had one person and I felt something in my gut about her. And I pursued this lead for 4 years. 4 years. And then finally, and there were so many moments where we almost closed the deal. There were so many moments where we almost did things time and time again, three or four times. Finally, we were there, the deal closed, and I'm like, this is when she normally walks. So I did not have a lot of hope tied to it. But then the wire came through and she's spent over $150,000 with me within a couple months. So it was well worth that nurture. And it was well worth a casual conversation of, I would love to do this for you. And just offering value, offering support, offering a script or an email or just favors now and then and again to get her to a point to where she was ready to. I had so much trust and history built with her that she was more than willing once she finally got to that point to spend a lot of money. And so we just finished her book is one of the things we've done for her, and it's in editing right now, so it's going to come out pretty soon.
Good. That falls along the lines of, because in networking, the networking world, if they know you, if they like you, if they trust you, they'll do business with you. And you built that trust because your whole thing when you're meeting somebody, whatever, is to break down that wall and to build up your trust. And that's what you did. That's what you did over the 4 years, of course. But then when it came time to her signing on the dotted line, there was no problem because she trusted you. And that's the whole thing. Very good. Okay, so get ready for this questions. Okay. What are the biggest mistakes people make when trying to write persuasive copy for their business?
They are too focused on selling and forget that they're talking to a human and they need to connect with a human first. So they go straight into this weird, like when you go to Starbucks and that there's that customer service voice and they're like, hi, welcome to Starbucks. Yeah. They do not talk that way in normal life. And people slip into this customer service voice when they start writing copy and they forget that there's a human that they're interacting with. They don't have to put on that weird customer service robotic voice. Just talk like a normal person and it's going to go over so much better. So I talk people out of, I'm like, stop it. Stop selling. Start connecting. You don't need more leads. You need more conversations.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Because really, and I say this because it's as of the pandemic, because the days of your building your customer base, that's really out the window. This is now a time of building relationships. And those relationships will become fruitful, of course, but it's all about you and your follow-up to the people that you just met, and everything comes together.
Yep. The
So that's
money is always in the follow-up and value-based follow-up, not just, hey, what do you think? Hey, you ready to sign? Hey, you ready to get to work? No, it's, oh, I saw this article about pickleball and I know you mentioned you love pickleball and I thought of you. Or saw that you posted you were having a rough day. Here's a $5 gift card to Starbucks.
It doesn't take much. It
No.
doesn't take much. Just knowing that you cared that much about me, and I'll always keep you top of mind. And that's the way to do it.
Yes, sir.
How can someone who isn't a natural writer improve their ability to craft compelling messages for networking follow-ups?
ChatGPT. And okay, I say this, with great power comes great responsibility. So
Absolutely.
ChatGPT is a tool. It is not an end all be all. But what you can do is compose your first draft, throw it into ChatGPT and ask it, "Hey, I need you to be my copywriter. Where would you improve this? This is a follow-up email. I want it to be casual. I want it to be warm conversation," whatever adjectives you want to use, and it'll generate. And my favorite thing to do with ChatGPT right now, I go, "Is that the best you can do?" is what I ask it. And it like snaps to attention and gives me some great results after I challenge it. That's super funny. But I think people are underutilizing ChatGPT because they're afraid, and there maybe they don't understand how to use it in a way that will maximize their skill. They're relying on it for skill completely. And no, use it like a tutor, use it like a tool, use it as something that can train you to be better because it most definitely can.
And what you said was so correct. I don't know how you could put a thing on correct, but ChatGPT is a tool for them to use. And if they're just starting out, it's a great tool for them to start, but they have to put their own personality into it, their own spin and everything. So just use it as a tool. Don't use it as an end all.
No, you should
Very
always
good.
have the last human touch on it. You should never let ChatGPT have the last touch on your copy ever.
Absolutely, absolutely. With the rise of AI and automation, how can professionals ensure their messaging still feels personal and authentic? This leads right into
Hire a copywriter.
that. Yes.
Because I talk with copywriters all the time, and I use ChatGPT, I use Claude, I use AI tools constantly. If you're not, you're going to fall behind. But again, it's using it in the right way. So ChatGPT is not a creator, it is a condenser and clarifier. Sam Altman actually gave an interview on this, and he said people are using it completely wrong. They're using ChatGPT to create and expand when it was built to condense and clarify. So what you need to do is word vomit onto ChatGPT and ask it to clarify, condense, cut it down instead of asking it to create. We as humans, we're one of the few creatures that can actually create brand new organic things. And I have a whole weird spiritual theory about this, but I won't bore you with that. And when we create, there's a soul to it. There's some soul to it, right? Some grip, some human element to it that we can't quite put our finger on when we see art, when we experience music, when we experience anything that's been created. And we often recognize that there's a soullessness to the AI copy. So again, use it, but then sprinkle your special sauce onto it after you've used it for the first draft. Put that human element, use the psychology. I started a series called Things ChatGPT Can't Do on LinkedIn, and I'm diving into the different psychology approaches that ChatGPT won't think to do. I'm diving into the different rhythms of rhetoric that are used from great writers, from great speech givers. And it's stuff that ChatGPT doesn't think to do because it doesn't think, it just copies. So I'm all for using AI. I love automation. It's maximized my business, 10x my business for sure. But again, using it responsibly.
That's terrific. You sound like you've been so successful, but along the way, you had to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
So, what mistake? Give me the biggest mistake you've made and how you overcame it.
Goodness. So what? I failed fast and hard. I think the biggest mistake was letting other people dictate my worth and try to make me write in a different way. And I made the wrong people successful with my copy. So now I know the power I have as a copywriter and that I will make you successful. If you bring me into your team, there, that's a not negotiable. It's straight up going to happen. So now I'm in a space to where I can choose who I work with, and I do that by not really caring about how much money you make, not really caring about where your brand is. All I care about is your character and your integrity. Are you someone that if I help elevate you, will you operate in integrity? And if that's a yes, then I want to work with you. If that's questionable, I will not work with you. Because, yeah, I mean, it works and to not doubt my own worth. But then there's also been things where I know my lane and I know my niche and I know who I write for, my ideal client. And anytime I move outside that lane, I end up regretting it. Anytime I compromise on my systems or my process, I instantly regret it. So do not do it. Stick with your systems and processes.
Gotcha. And in being a public speaker and coach and trainer, I learned that pick a lane, stick to the lane. Pick one idea, one thought, and just stay in that lane. Now, of course, unless you're a Tony Robbins and you can talk about anything, but pick a lane and you're talking about doing the same thing. Okay, let's bring this full circle. What's one immediate change listeners can make to their networking follow-ups or marketing copy to improve engagement and conversations?
I think people get discouraged after 3 or 5 follow-ups. It takes 7 to 10 points of contact for a sale. And that's true also for social work. It takes 7 to 10 points of contact that I found as a social worker to bring someone into recovery or out of their toxic system into a better one. So don't get discouraged and don't quit so early on. And then also be focused on impact and value, not the sale. And if you're focused on creating a positive impact and bringing value, your sales and profits are going to be a happy consequence of that focus.
Yeah, I truly believe whenever you go to a networking event or meet somebody or anything else, you always look to give, not receive. So if you looked at Zig Ziglar came out with looking to give and not receive, and it'll come back to you. But it's a great philosophy because then you don't have to worry about it because it will come back to you. Amanda, this was fantastic. I can probably talk to you for another hour, but if somebody wanted to get hold of you, the best way, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Honestly, Instagram. I live on Instagram and it's Amanda Catarzi, which is my maiden name, is my handle.
Okay, very good. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, hold on, folks. Don't go anywhere. Let me just read a few of our sponsors that we have. Struggling to reach success? Maybe it's time to quit. In Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, this reveals 27 steps to breaking bad habits that hold you back. This powerful book helps you rewire your mindset, take control of your actions, and turn setbacks into stepping stones. With real-life examples, motivational quotes, and actionable lessons, especially for sales professionals, you'll gain the tools to quit. What's stopping you and start winning? Transform your future today. So Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, available now on Amazon. And this is a nonprofit called Revved Up Kids. This is something I believe in wholeheartedly. Revved Up Kids is on a mission to protect children and teens from sexual abuse, exploitation, and trafficking. They provide prevention training programs for children, teens, and adults. To learn more, go to revvedupkids.org. That's REVVEDUPKIDS.org. All right, folks. A huge thank you to our guests for sharing such incredible insights today. And of course, a big shout out to you, our amazing listeners, for tuning in and spending your time with us. If you're interested in my digital courses, being coached, or having me come and talk to your company, just go to Michael and fill out the request form. Remember, networking isn't about being perfect, it's about being present. So take what you've learned today, get out there, and make some meaningful connections. If you've enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who could use a little networking inspiration. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, YouTube, or my website, foreman.com/podcasts.